Good morning and welcome family and friends to Hoodertal on such a beautiful, nice, cool morning. Let's begin our praise and worship this morning. If you are able, please stand and turn to your hymnal to page 46. And if you'd like to continue, we can turn to page 50. Praise the Lord, sing hallelujah.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we have gathered again in your presence. You are our God in heaven and made all of the earth through your word. We exalt you for your power and goodness. We come to you to show our love for you. We have cast all of our cares before you and on you. Bring us your abundance and remake the lack from our lives. Remove the lack from our lives. May we be renewed through you. Give us the strength to face the week ahead and allow us to glorify your name. We worship you because you are God forever. In your loving name, amen. And if you'd like to stand and greet one another, please do so. And now if the children like to come forward for children's time, Pastor Jack has an amazing, awesome story for y'all.
Yeah, right. Well, I guess we're the only children up here. What do you think about that? Do you want to sit down? I'll tell the story to the whole to all the children out here. Oh, there's more coming. There you are. So I just tell them, we'll make all the adults children. They are children anyway, right? Now, let's see. It's kind of hard to sit on the floor for me, but all right, I guess I'll get down here. Okay, here we go. Good to see you all this morning. Welcome into church today. Can you tell me the sound of a one-hand clapping? Put up one hand. Can it clap? Can it make a sound clapping? No. So what do you need to make a sound with one hand clapping? What do you need? Another hand. Right? Or another hand, right? Yeah, right? Or something to pound on. So even though our hands are very small compared to our heart and our lungs, our hands need to work together to make sound, right? Sure. That's pretty important, isn't it? Have you ever thought about, have you ever stubbed your toe? How did it feel? Bad, yeah. One time I had my feet up and I stubbed my toe and went, ooh, just like that. And it took a long time for it to stop hurting. In fact, my toenail, did your toenail go bad? Mine went black and I had got a new toenail. But you know, when I stubbed my toe, I couldn't think about anything else. But my toenail, isn't that crazy? Everything else, that little thing right there made all the rest of me just lose my thoughts. And I did. Or one time, my son was getting ready to go to school. He was going to preschool. And he got on the bus. It was his first time, Andrew's first time. And I went up to say goodbye. He sat down in his seat, and I went up to put my hands on the window of the bus. And guess what happened? The window came down on my fingers. I was like, oh, and I couldn't scream and holler because all these little kids on the bus would have been scared if I really got loud because my fingers were so much pain. And you wouldn't think our little fingers are so important, but look at all those little areas right there, so important. I lost several fingernails, but for several days I couldn't, when I go to pick something up, so we need these little things, don't we, our fingers? And they're very important, aren't they, the tips of our fingers? Or how important is your thumb? Have you ever thought about your thumb? You have all four fingers and a thumb, right? How important is that little thumb? Is that little thumb pretty important? How important is your little thumb? If you didn't have a thumb, what would happen? Think about it. When you go home today and you do any drawing or writing or coloring, have your mom and dad put tape your thumb like that, okay? And then I want you to try and write and draw. It's pretty hard to color, wouldn't it? Because you really need your thumb. You need that little thumb, right? You need that little thumb. The little thumb is so important. What about your big toe? I had a friend when we were in high school. She lost her big toe, sadly. And she had to kind of learn how to walk to balance differently because your big toe helps you balance your feet when you stand up. So she didn't have a big toe. She had to learn how to balance differently. All these little parts are so important. There are special parts that God created to help us live better and be better, right? Or do you know what a piccolo is? Have you ever heard of a piccolo? Yeah. What is a piccolo?
It's like,
it's like an instrument. It's like a little flute, right? Here's a picture of a girl playing a piccolo. See that little piccolo? It's like a little flute. Maybe one day you'll play a piccolo. Yeah, it's like a little flute. You just kind of hold it about this long, right here like that and play it. It's very important in an orchestra. Did you know that? Read this story about this guy who he was conducting an orchestra, and he had like a couple hundred people in this orchestra, and they're all playing, and the piccolo player lost his place, so he stopped playing. And they were just practicing, but you know what the conductor did? He stopped the orchestra. All those, the violin, the oboes, the cellos, the horns, saxophones, flutes, drums, cymbals, they're all playing. And you wouldn't think you could hear the piccolo, but he could hear the piccolo, and the piccolo wasn't playing. So he stopped the whole orchestra. He said, "Why aren't you playing, Mr. Piccolo?" And the guy said, "Okay, sir, I lost my place. Well, let's get back in. I heard you weren't there." Very important. Little bitty instrument, little bitty flute. I mean, you compare this little bitty flute to all these fantastic, beautiful violin playing, drums beating, cymbals clanging, trumpets blowing. The piccolo is very important. And it was missed because it wasn't playing. Do you know what Jesus found very important? What do you think some things Jesus found very important? Very special, very important. Yes, you are so sharp. That's right, children. Children, very, very, very important to Jesus. And in fact, he would talk to people and say, "Leave the little children alone. They are so special. They are so loved. They are so valuable. They're so precious to me." He loved the little children. Did you know that, young ladies? He loved the children very, very much. That means he loves you all very, very much. And you all are very special to him. And I hope you never forget that you're special to Jesus and how much he loves you. And guess who else you're special to? Who do you think you're special to, Brittany? Who are you special to? Your mom and dad. Who else you're special to? Jesus and God. Who else you're special to? Who thinks you're precious and special and beautiful? Stand up. Look out there. All of these people think you're special and precious and beautiful. Isn't that cool? They love you very much. In fact, we probably would all say, "We are so glad you are in this church and you bring such joy and love to us. You're so special to us. You make me laugh. You make me feel alive. You make me feel special by your presence here." Do you know that? You are so special. Special to all of us. And I am so thankful you're a part of this church family. Thank you for being here and helping me feel so good. Because when I see you running around the church and laughing and giggling, I think, "Oh, Jesus, we got such life and beauty in our church," and it makes me feel happy inside. Even when I see you maybe back there acting out sometimes, believe me, parents, children, adult children act out sometimes too. I see them. When I'm preaching, I see it all. passing notes, giggling, talking back and forth. I see it all, but it's all pretty special. It's all pretty special. Amen. Let's thank God. Lord, thank you that we are so special to you. Amen. All right, talk to you later. Thank you, girls, for coming up.
Thank you, Pastor Jack. That was great. Now, if we can have the ushers come forward. If you could bow your head to pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you these tithes, our offerings today. With it, we worship you and give our whole selves only to you. Please now take it and use it for your glory. Extend and multiply it, its reach and influence, we pray. May it be a great blessing to many. We ask all of this in your powerful name. Amen. And if you could stand, if you are able, and turn to your hymnals to number 304.
There are many gifts.
be seated. And I apologize, I kind of skipped over. I went rogue there for a moment. So we're going to just focus back and do our shared scripture of Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And at this time, we're going to have a moment in mission from Evie Cheddar.
When I worked with MCC, I attended conference pretty well every year for 20 years. And so after that was when I finished that job, I thought, I need a break. It's time for a break. And so I haven't been at conference for a number of years. And I have to say, when we got there this year, it was kind of like a homecoming. It felt really good. And yet, there some things were the same, but there are many things that are changing, too. And so I want to just share a few updates today. One of the things I noticed is that we're becoming more diverse, and that's a good thing. And that was evidenced even in the music as we sang, which the music was awesome, by the way. But we sang in English and Spanish, and we even sang in Cheyenne. If you could call that singing in Cheyenne, we did not do well. Willis Busnitz had to carry that pretty well by himself. But it was really, really nice. Willis, as most of you know, Willis is a pastor in Montana, working with the Northern Cheyenne. And I don't know if that man has ever missed a conference. It doesn't matter where it is. I know it's about 12 or 13 hours from excuse me, from his home to Freeman, and then another seven beyond that. But he's always there, and he was there again this year. Very admirable. Another thing I noticed is that there are more women in the ministry, and they are very capable. I was very impressed with some of them. A few highlights. First of all, we were very proud, in a humble Mennonite way, of Monica Clem, as she was honored for 20 years of working in her role. She does such an amazing job, and so we really appreciate all you do, Monica, with that and keeping us connected with conference. Most of you will remember Max Vietaro from who our Mennonite pastor who was deported about 4 years ago. We prayed a lot for that situation. We helped financially. We did what we wrote letters. We did a lot of things. But he was deported, and his family stayed here in the United States. I believe he was able to visit with them occasionally as they would go there to visit him. Well, he has now relocated to Ensenada, Mexico, which is just at the lower part, right close to the bottom of California. And he's started Bible studies, and he's now in conversation with I believe it's either the Western or the Pacific Mennonite Conference, in starting a new Mennonite church plant there. So it's just kind of amazing how God works, and his wife and children will be joining him there as they are reunited now and will start that new work there. So that was an answer to prayer. During one of the delegate sessions, one of the Hispanic pastors got up and shared that the next day, he just wanted everybody to be aware, that the next day the ICE raids were going to beginning, and he wanted everyone to be mindful of that and to be in prayer for that. And so Dave Beauchart stepped up and led the group in a prayer about this special concern. And about 15 minutes later, there was another interruption. And this was to announce that the ICE raids had been canceled for the next day. And we were all kind of thinking, wow, when Dave Beauchart prays, things really happen. So that was kind of fun. I was able to go to two interest sessions. There were lots to choose from, but I chose two. One, the first one was Cultural Literacy, Race Relations in the Past, Present, and Future. The speaker was an African-American man from Waterloo, a pastor from Waterloo. And I felt like I was in the room with Dr. Martin Luther King. He was so powerful and so inspiring. The other session I attended was Why I Came and Why We Keep Coming to the U.S. about immigration. It was led by a Mennonite pastor, I believe she was from the Quad Cities, who told her own story and about the work she is doing with immigrants. This was also very powerful. It made me more aware, again, of how important it is for us to listen and see with our Anabaptist ears and eyes, rather than what we hear on the news or see on social media or read on social media. We really need to ask, what would Jesus do? Jesus would not say, feed the hungry only if they have papers. He would not say, clothe the naked only if they are from our own country. He would not say, love your neighbor only if they look like you. In our conference packet, we also had another little mini packet of peace stories. And there's seven stories in here, and I'm very willing to share with them with anybody here, and Pastor Jack would have this copy as well. Seven stories, and three of them were from Freeman, and that was kind of exciting. Two were from the Freeman Network for Justice and Peace, the first one relating to the Freeman Network's relationship, growing relationship with the Wagner group, a Native American group called Horizons. That was written by Lois Jansen Preheim. And the second story was written by Shirley Hofer. And it was about visiting a cemetery, the Hiawatha Asylum Tour that our group took to that cemetery, also dealing with Native American issues. Very, very well written. And again, proud in a humble way, surely. So thank you. And the third story was about Laverne and Janice Graber, who have now for 20 winters spent part of their winter in Carlsbad, New Mexico, where they are helping provide homes for the homeless. So very cool stories coming from our community. A person gets new ideas. You kind of learn to think a little bit outside the box sometimes when you are at conference, just from things that are presented or people that you visit with. And there were two young pastors, one from Wood River, Nebraska, and one from, I'm not sure which church it was in Iowa, but I think it was in Des Moines. They did a congregational exchange. One weekend, the one congregation traveled to Wood River, and the next weekend, the Wood River people traveled to Iowa. And they couldn't express what a wonderful experience that was. And I had to think, well, is this something Utterkald could do? So we have to start thinking outside the box, ways of which we can be more connected to our conference. At our motel, we made the acquaintance of the woman who formed the organization Dove's Nest. And I'm not sure if you've heard about that, but I've gotten a lot of emails from them through the years, being the office administrative assistant. They are that organization, it's a Mennonite, was founded by Mennonites, and very concerned about the safety of our congregations, especially children, offering workshops and seminars on how to keep our children safe. And so that's just another valuable resource, and I was glad that we got to put a face to the name of all those emails. Fellowship time, waiting in line to eat, or sitting around the tables eating with new people every meal was just refreshing, and it was so interesting to just to get to know new people. John Epp from the North Church came home and he said, everyone should really experience conference. And I would echo that. And I would hope that maybe next year, maybe we can have people actually come and volunteer to go to conference. It's going to be in the Twin Cities. It would be a great place for families to go and take a little vacation, too, to the city. They have wonderful activities for children at the conference. So I hope that some from our congregation will be attending that. We need each other. Each of us congregations, we need each other. It's easy to feel alone and we're doing our own thing out here in Freeman, South Dakota. But we are a family and we need each other. And so we need to take deliberate steps to remain connected. And whether that's in person or reading about each other or whatever, that all helps us to remain part of that. So as a whole, conference was really an amazing experience. Thank you.
We'll come back to that. This is kind of a conference Sunday promotion, so we'll come back to the thinking. Sharing time. You have something to share this morning? Microphone here, please.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Good to see you all. It's been a couple weeks since I've been here in church. It's good to be back and see all of you again. I have a couple things. First of all, Edie, thank you for your report on conference. I would echo what you said and what John Epp said. If anyone has the opportunity to go and be a delegate, do it. It is eye-opening. It is good to feel connected with the conference. It is good to see the diversity. And as Edie talked about singing, I know the last conference we were at, we also sang in Hmong, along with the other languages that she had talked about. So. I would encourage you to do that. And kudos to Monica, 20 years. I didn't realize it was that long. Let's give her a round of applause. Thank you for your service. And since I haven't been here in a couple weeks, last time I saw some of you was probably when we served at the banquet down in Yankton. And I want to thank all of you who did that, as we sang about many parts to one body and how we are the hands and feet. I thank you for serving down there. And I got a thank you card just the other day from them down there, dear Huddertal Mennonite Church. Of course, I took my glasses off. We at the Yankton Area Banquet wish to thank you for serving our guests on July 2nd. Your generosity and sharing of your time and talent was appreciated very much. And I will hang that out on the bulletin board for everyone to look at if they want. And then I just got to mention one more thing. It's in your bulletin, Rural Revival, tomorrow evening. And as you see, this is a shameless plug for my daughter and her husband. They're going to be speaking about market gardening. And if you have any interest in that, or if you're curious about what they've done, how it's been going, and if it's just something you're interested in, please feel free to come. They'll be talking at the beginning of the meeting, and after that, you're welcome to leave. You don't have to stick around for the rest of the meeting. And Rural Revival is planning on trying to get people to speak at the beginning of the meeting with various topics, either about alternative agriculture, about cover crops, about beekeeping, different things like that. So just keep an eye on the bulletin, and if you're interested in any of those topics, you're welcome to come, spend 15 minutes to half an hour with us and hear about that, and then you're welcome to leave. Thank you.
It was really a delight to be down in Yankton serving the meal. And it was a lot of fun, met some new people. And it seemed like the people that really were appreciative, both the servants of the church as well as the people that gathered. That was nice. Thanks, Todd.
This is Charlene Friesen, and I would like to invite you all to an ice cream social at the Prairie Rose Arboretum tonight. You can come at 6:30 or whenever it works for you after that. You may bring lawn chairs, and if you have a frisbee or a special lawn game you'd like to play, we'll have croquet set up. But you can bring other items that you enjoy doing besides just visiting together. Coffee time often goes beyond the bell here at church, and we can just continue our visiting this evening. And as a special interest, especially to the children, I understand Jack and Kathy are bringing a special friend this evening. So
you'll
want to come
friend.
Meet and get to know that one too. Okay, see you this evening.
He's quiet, but obedient. Anybody else? Shirley, it is so good to see you. Pause. April. Shirley, can you give us an update on how you're doing? You're in the bulletin. We're still praying, recovering from illness, so I keep seeing the church here. So how are you doing?
I thank you very much for the prayers, and I'm slowly getting stronger each day, and I praise God, and I want to express my deep appreciation to all of you for your prayers.
It is good to see you here, and I'm glad you're getting stronger. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? Gracious God, what a privilege it is to be in your house here at Hedertal, to be with your people, to be gathered around your throne in this day of worship and celebration. We're grateful for your love for us that you poured out so freely at Calvary and that you pour out daily through your word and through the relationships that we have among one another. Thank you for your grace and your tender mercies, for we need that daily. Thank you for hearing our prayers this morning. Thank you for Shirley and how well she's doing. Continue to pray for her strength, for Randy Banzer and his healing needs and health issues. We remember Adela this morning. Thank you for the way you watched over her during the week in her surgery and continue to help her in her time of recovery. And we look forward to this evening, a time of socializing together and some fellowship time. Lord, I hope that just people just gathered out and we can gather and enjoy one another's company and share in the beauty of the day together. Continue to bless this congregation in Christ's name. Amen. Thomas, family. Whoa, it says family. Boys, come on, it says family. Sorry, I've tried.
I wish I could say there was an election, but there wasn't. So, if you would please take your pew Bibles, if you wish to follow along, and turn to page 607. I will be reading as referenced in our bulletin this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it falls under a subtitle of spiritual gifts. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, The same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to one another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. One body with many parts. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand," that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "I am not part of the body because I am not an eye," would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First, are apostles. Second, are prophets. Third, are teachers. Then those who do miracles. Then those who have the gift of healing. Those who can help others. Those who have the gift of leadership. Those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now, let me show you a way of life that is best of all. From the New Living Translation.
Thank you, Jolene. And I know your fellows were supportive. Well, Huddertal cannot say to the conference, we don't need you. And the conference cannot say to Huddertal, we don't need you. We are part of one body and we need one another. Especially in this day, I think of angst and anxiety, the anxiety of our day, the stress of our day, the movement away from our Anabaptist values and principles as Mennonites. We need conference. Conference needs us to walk together as a body in Christ. One of my roles as a transitional pastor, and this is going to be my official appeal today. I won't probably preach this again. This is my official conference appeal today. Although when we get to the constitutional stuff, we'll look at some conference relationships. But one of my roles as transitional pastor, and this very classic and typical task of the transitional pastor, is to encourage and renew, if need be, but encourage a conference and congregation relationship, a healthy conference and congregation relationship. And that's what I want to encourage today. And I want to encourage you by doing three different things that we can do to enhance or build our relationship with Central Plains Mennonite Conference. The first one, Edie took a lot of my thunder, which is great, so I don't have to preach this part, but be involved, be connected, participate in the life of the conference. That's what we can do. And I found that going to Kelowna, Iowa was an exciting time. First of all, I enjoyed the solitude and the drive down 80. That was really nice, although there's a lot of trucks on that road. And I came back at 4 a.m. on 20, and I thought, this is just a little too lonely. If I get stuck here, I'm going to be here forever. But anyway, it was a nice time of quietude for me, and I appreciate that. But just the presence down there. I've not been to the conference assembly or meeting here, and it was really wonderful to meet new friends and to see old friends. I'd gone to school with Furman and Marsha Yoda Schrock, and it was nice to see them. And John Schrock, I'd gone to seminary with these individuals, and some of them are now participating in conference life and ministry. So that was exciting to catch up with those. I met with Steph Miller, who was our speaker at Holy Week. So he and I had a nice, very intense conversation. I think if you go look at the photographs online, you'll see we're pretty engaged in what we were talking about. And it was really interesting to catch up with him and his children, his new baby, and that sort of thing. So that was fun. And then I met a number of people. At first, I was just kind of like, well, how engaged do I become? So I kind of set by myself a couple of meals, and I thought, well, I could be more engaging, but it's nice just to kind of observe. And then I found people beginning to sit with me, so just begin to have a really time of a good time of fellowship. Good time of fellowship. The singing was fabulous in the three different languages. We kind of murdered Cheyenne, I think, but we did well. Maybe that's the wrong word. Kind of didn't do well in Cheyenne singing, but it was really fun. The preaching was good. The workshops, I went to the prayer workshop by Corey Miller from North Church, and it was really wonderful to attend that. There were various agencies there. I met with Lyle Miller from Everence, so I got to touch base with him, got to touch base with AMBS leadership there. There was the Mennonite Mission Board was there, so it just was nice, and other people could connect. And it shows how we are related. We are connected theologically. We're connected relationally. And then this theological journey together as Anabaptists, as Mennonites. Holding the same values and the same principles. So first thing is just get involved. Connect there. One of the things I found was that I was amazed, Monica, at how peaceful and gentle and supportive and encouraging and how non-controversial the weekend was. I come from a conference where there seems to be always something, somebody, someone on the plate, and somebody had this to pound the pulpit about. But I didn't see that here. It seemed like maybe David Bolshart and Tim and Monica and others had taken care of all that business. But it was a peaceful gathering, supportive and encouraging gathering. And that was nice to be a part of. Now, a friend of mine back east, I was visiting, he said, well, that's because they don't deal with the issues out there. But whatever. It was nice to be in a part where there wasn't all this controversy and flare and anger and disruption. And the diversity, Myanmar, is that how you say it? Myanmar congregation joined the group. There was a congregation joined the group, and there was Hmong people. I was just impressed with the diversity of the conference. That's really fabulous. Speaks a lot to who we are and our understanding and the wide swath of love and grace we offer as Mennonites to the world around us and to people caught in and disenfranchised men are caught in different difficult places, how we can embrace and bring in to the flock. Wonderful, 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 wonderful time. So being involved, and one thing just happened, I think September 5th and 6th, Friday and Saturday, here at South Church. I believe the conference committees are meeting, if I've got that correct. Now, I haven't talked to Monica about this, but I'm assuming anybody can show up there and kind of inquire what's happening. I show up there and say, hey, who's this conference? What you about? So we come here to check you out and see what's going on. And maybe there's a committee in the conference you can be a part of. I'm looking at being a part of the Justice and Peace Commission, a committee. And I found out you don't have to go to all the meetings around the conference, which can be a 1,200-mile stretch. However it goes, to Montana, to 1,200-mile stretch. But a lot of Zoom meetings happen. That's cool. So I met with Jane Yoder Rock to talk about that. So just get involved. Get involved. Participate in the life. See what it's about. Just check it out. That's my first point. Second point is gather information. Gather information. Who is conference? What are they about? What do they believe? How do they function? And there's several places you can look. For example, you can go online. There's a website online, and they will. And on the website, you have a whole host of information there about the conference, all the churches, the life, and there's some nice video clips and photograph clips of the great last assembly that we had there. Wonderful stuff. So you'll find this mission statement, Central Plains Mennonite Conference. I like this. Creates settings for our congregations and partners to grow in a holistic witness to God's reconciling mission. That's one of the purposes. And they do that by developing leadership, encouraging fellowship, and promoting lifelong discipleship. That's biblical. That's biblical, sound biblical principles. It has some spiritual truths. It says here, our spiritual practices. One, we will worship God as a central act of our common life wherever the church is gathered. We will practice prayer, fasting, and generous giving to separate ourselves from the influence of the principalities and powers of this age and to make us available to fully participate in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That sounds like the Apostle Paul. We'll prayerfully study the Bible together weekly in congregations and whenever the conference gathers, guided by the qualified teachers for the purpose of increasing our competency in reading, interpreting, and applying the scriptures in Anabaptist perspective to our everyday lives and critical issues, our faith we face in the world today. We will accept and offer hospitality. We will study the Bible with neighbors and strangers. We will practice peacemaking. Connect. Find out who they are, what they have to offer. There's a little booklet in the library. This is the library's booklet on the Central Plains Mennonite Conference. It's a handbook of information in 2018, 2019. And if you look at page 6, it says, here's some of the things they offer us, for example. And this is very relevant to where we're at today. Ministerial leadership support structures. Now, it used to be Tim Detweiler, but it's now Susan Jansen. And we'll talk about her in a minute. But here's some things they offer. Pastor searches. Hello? Trained persons are available in each pastor cluster to assist pastor search committees by giving guidance and general oversight to the pastor call process. Pastor congregation evaluations. Trained persons are available in each pastor cluster to give guidance, counsel, and oversight to the pastor congregation evaluation. Conflict management, clergy misconduct. They offer a host of things. So I was thinking about this, and I thought, well, okay, that's cool. I read this. That's nice. You know, but what's the fruit of this? How these relationships work? And can anybody speak to the side, outside, into the conference? And here's what we've seen, or here's how we've behaved, or here's how we've witnessed. And what was the word I was using? I was thinking about, what's the relevance? Why should we participate in conference? What good will they be for us? And so I called Monica and asked her these questions. She said, well, here's the booklet, and here's the people called Eva Beauchard. So I said, well, I was going to call him. So I called David. He wasn't in. Texted him a message saying, I want to know, for what reason should Huddertal be a part of this conference? What value is there in it? Our relationship with you all. We read about you. You say this, you say that. But, well, what's going on? And so he called back, said, hey, I just finished this paper on questions that were asked to the delegates. This is number one question. Tell a story of one way that you have experienced the fruit of the Central Plains Mennonite Conference mission and vision, for, or any part of it, in the life of your life, congregation, and or conference. So I said, can I use that? And he said, yeah, just I'll text it to you. So here, it's got to be edited, but I'm going to put it in the library if you look at it. Let me just share a few things. It's by subject. Ministry staff support and accompaniment through joyful and difficult times. I'll just read a couple of these. CPMC walked with our church during a time of transition. They provided leadership and helped our congregation work through years of pain. CPMC worked with our church through a three-year time, a period of to encourage them to be patient and wait. God acted through them to provide another pastor. Support of a congregation. One in leadership here, helping pastor search, working closely to find a pastor for their church. Support through transitional pastor and new pastor fit. Good staff good at slowing down, helping pastoral search without controlling process. That's good, isn't it? Of course, I've been saying slow down too. Slow down. Conflict management, leadership development. The grace of God has been an opportunity for pastoral development, have been made available for pastors going through smooth and turbulent times. Opportunities for persons of color to have leadership in our conference. Help with implementing vision and dreams of the church. Resources and sharing, the Scattered Seeds publication, webinars, encouraging lifelong discipleship and journey with Jesus, study guides of the covenant spiritual practices, other resources that are available. Here's one from Freeman. The Freeman, South Dakota South Church, PCMC conference emphasized on Scripture has helped the church in how to they appreciate Scripture in the life of the congregation. Emphasis on covenant practices helps realize, search our mission. I'll have to ask Nick if he wrote that or not, anyway. Help spread the word of God, justice and peace, task force groups, affirming our youth. In fact, that was one of the things I found exciting. The youth were delegates. I think that's new in Mennonite Church USA. The youth were delegates. Those youth that came could participate in the process, in the discussion, and in the vote. I was very impressed by that. Very impressed by that. And I like this one. Increasing fellowship and mutual encouragement. And Dave and I spent quite a bit of time on the phone around this subject. In this day and age, how much we really need one another as Anabaptists. And how we're becoming so splintered. Theologically, we've become so splintered as a community, as a culture, as a group. And that we are beginning to lose our voice, a prophetic voice, an Anabaptist voice in the society in which we live and the churches with which we serve in. But here it says conference creates a setting to encourage one another, encourages new churches, creates an intentional connection between larger and other established churches. I was very impressed. Provides encouragement and fellowship, connects with other churches and relationships. And the list goes on and on and on. Very, very interesting. I want to encourage us to connect with conference. To find, and my understanding, historically, we have really been connected in the past. If I recall the conversations I've had. And of late, we haven't been as connected. So I want to encourage that connection to happen. And the third way that we can work at increasing our relationship or encouraging a healthy relationship or building a stronger relationship or renewing our relationship, whatever other phrase you want to use. I want to say let's connect and rebuild and let's strengthen, is to invite the leaders to come here. And this is a fantastic opportunity. Why? We have a new conference minister, Susan Jansen. I've met her briefly. And she doesn't start until August the 1st, but she will be in the area sometime in September. And I'm thinking to coordinate with her, it'd be nice to coordinate with her, to maybe meet with our deacons, to meet with our church board, to meet with our steering committee, to meet with our church family, maybe have her come and speak and talk a little bit, give a good word for us, maybe have a dinner around. But I was on driving the church, I thought, well, you know, there's something else that can happen with this. I don't know if she'd be open to this. But it was something I was thinking about, just thinking out loud as I was driving the church this morning. Our goal is to begin to put together a form that helps us look for a new pastor. And she is the one who, if I'm right, Monica, who begins that process from conference. She's the one who establishes, meets with us, and establishes that process here. It's under her leadership. So what happened, we had invited her in to have her kind of a Q&A time about that process and how it works, but also a time where she can get to know us and help assess our readiness for that journey. That's kind of what we're doing, right? We're doing all this work and this task force work for the readiness for that journey to seek a pastor. And since we have to involve her in that process, why don't we just say, hey, we'd like to think outside the box here and invite you to come be a part of the process right now. Kind of listen to us and assess with us our readiness to fill out this form and begin that search. I think that would be pretty interesting, personally. Maybe you'd think that'd be a little daunting, a little overwhelming, but I think conference ministers should be available for our questions. But yeah, so I'm just thinking out loud. Any way in which it goes, my morning today is simply one purpose: to fulfill my task as a transitional pastor, to encourage strong, healthy conference relationships. By being involved, participating, by being educated about who is conference and what it's about and who are the people, and by getting to know the leadership that is there. Three ways. And find out how our life can be enhanced in Christ by that relationship. And if you have any questions, don't ask me, ask Monica. 20 years experience. I'm new guy, no. Anyway, please. That's my appeal to you all to do that. And I do it, and I have to be honest with you, I've come a long way around the block with conference relationships. I'm doing this, and that's just the promotion of part of my job, but also I've come to a place where I think I can value more and appreciate more conference. I began in the Rocky Mountain Mennonite Conference, and my conference minister would say, Jack, start biting the bit and get with it. I was a bit of an Anabaptist. I was kind of out there a little further than he liked. And I always had that kind of tension in relationships with conference leaders. But this has been quite different here and quite refreshing and a great joy to see a different part of myself walk in that relationship. So I had my hesitations too. But I've been very blessed with what I've seen and hear and the communication I've had. And we need our Anabaptists, our Mennonite witness and values are eroding in the society. And we truly need those principles, those faith principles, what we believe and adhere to as Mennonites. We have something to offer the community around us. We have something to give in Christ, a different perspective. I remember years ago, David Augsburg used to say, Myron Augsburg used to talk about, Jack, we need to be the prophetic voice in our society. God's prophetic voice speaking to our society, a different way of looking at scriptures and life and relationships. I think we bring that as a peace people in Jesus Christ. That's my appeal, that's my spiel, that's my motivational talk. I would encourage you to get involved, please, in the conversation. Next week, come back to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll go right back to the Word of God in Philippians chapter 2. All right, thank you. Wow.
Please stand if you're able, and please open your Sing the Journeys to number 73, The Lord Lift You Up. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Go in peace, be the hands and feet.